I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm thankfully recovering from past hurts and am working on codependency and other challenging issues. My name is Melinda. I was born in and grew up in Cottage Grove, Oregon. I'm a native Oregonian. Ta-da! Yeah! Go Beavs. A bunch of us kids lived in my neighborhood. A bunch. And we played all over the big yards and the quiet streets and the city park, riding bikes, building forts, hunting snipes in the night, and playing team games. As long as I followed my parents' rules, a lot of freedom was enjoyed by me. Step out of line, and I'm really sorry. In that time and in that place, it was a lifestyle for kids, and looking back, we were very blessed. Both of my parents were business owners, and early on, I learned a strong work ethic. By fifth grade, I was working in my dad's restaurant on Saturdays. In those days, you could do that. Those days. He also was the local milkman. Between these two businesses, he was gone about 18 hours a day. So we didn't see him much except on an occasional holiday. My dad was an only child who worked very hard all his young life as a farm kid. His father was harsh, and he disciplined my dad very roughly. Consequently, my dad loved his girls, but didn't know how to show his love. Hard work was what he knew, and he expected it from his girls. My mom taught piano lessons in her studio, which was in our home. She was driven to be the best teacher in town. This job consumed her days and parts of most evenings. My jobs were to prepare dinner and babysit my baby sister. Our family pretty much just worked all the time. Sometimes I resented having to work instead of playing around with the other kids. However, as I got older, I did like that paycheck that came along. By ninth grade, I was working nearly full-time in the summers at my dad's restaurant. During the school year, I worked part of every weekend. When I wasn't working, I was busy at school. I had band and choir and clubs and sports, and I loved them all. Of course, outside of school, I spent many hours studying piano. My mother was the piano teacher. And learning to perform music to perfection. Key word for my life. Perfection was a characteristic that I learned really well, but it did not go well for me having it later in life. My mom took me and my sister to church where she grew up. I was always active in church. I loved VBS and church camp and teen group. And I have great memories of some special pastors from that church. When I was in sixth grade, I was baptized in the river by my pastor from that church. This was an important acknowledgement of faith in Jesus Christ in my church. Throughout high school, I remained active in church and worked hard enough to get good grades in school. Sports and music and high school activities kept me busy. I was proud of my accomplishments. I worked hard, and I was perfect in about everything I did. Failure was not a word in my vocabulary. I was strong in my studies and strong in my accomplishments. What I was not strong in was a spiritual walk with the Lord. Coming from a Christian family and doing lots of church stuff didn't give me a strong personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I never received the tools I needed to face life's struggles from church or from my family. And one of those tools I did not receive at that time was an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I really didn't know about the Holy Spirit when I was a kid growing up. I just went to church. When I came face to face with my first serious life choice of an unplanned pregnancy, I did not seek God's counsel. I did not seek advice from my parents or my pastor. I felt like I was a failure. I now had a huge gash in my perfect facade. The feelings began to haunt me, and they lasted for many years. I married my first serious boyfriend and finished high school the same year. We moved to the big city, Eugene, Oregon, to live. I had many naive ideas about being married. Those wide-eyed expectations soon disappeared as we struggled to gain educations while being underemployed students. My precious daughter arrived soon after. I had no clue how to be a mother, and the first few months were frustrating and very scary for me. Time went by, and I began struggling with bitterness, anger, and failed expectations of myself as a person, trying to be a mom and the expectations of my marriage. We moved 8 times in 6 years, and we gained one more child. We now had 2 beautiful children, and our family moved back to Cottage Grove. During these years, I got busy being religious in our local church. I taught Sunday school and played the piano, worked with the women's groups. But I didn't really grow closer to the Lord. I did grow in some grace, but the failures, feelings, the anger, and the bitterness was now swept under my rug of busyness. And it still festered deep in my heart. In the spring of 1975, I began sensing an inner need to draw closer to God's presence. Our pastor at that time helped me take the initial step to a deeper walk with Jesus. However, learning how to trust God and relinquish my control and not rely on my own understanding, as quoted in Proverbs 3:6, was a very big sticking point in my spiritual journey. I just worked harder, did more activities, and depended on myself to get it all done. I managed to follow most of the rules, being a church person, but I was not living in God's peace and abundance. I was just surviving spiritually. The very next year, my husband felt God's call to ministry, and our family moved to Colorado Springs. Both he and I attended Bible college. I didn't think I'd ever measure up to being a pastor's wife. But I did begin to learn some things. I began to learn how to lean on Jesus and trust his path. I also began to learn how to be more humble and a servant of the Lord. I have a very clear memory of one important spiritual lesson I learned at this time. I began to doubt my salvation. I felt that if I was really living the life God wanted me to live, I would not be having so many struggles. I called a professor to share my problem, and she confirmed for me that I was right with God. She emphatically stated to me, "Make today your absolute statement of faith and don't ever question it again." I got on my knees and prayed with her on the phone. After that call, I never did question my salvation in Jesus Christ. For me, that lesson and other lessons that I learned at Bible college formed a firm foundation for future events in my life. Our family moved several more times as we tried to finish up college degrees at Seattle Pacific and Portland State. And then God opened a door for me to begin my first teaching job. It was in a little country school in Damascus. I was almost 40 years old, and everything was perfect. Well, 2 years later, my daughter, who was a spiritual rock for me, had married and moved out of state. My son, who was suffering consequences of his poor life choices, was in jail. And my husband and I were separated. I was left utterly alone. I was in pain and discovered my twin enemies, bitterness and anger, were still alive and well in my life. My anger came out in many ways, mostly aimed at my absent husband. I hunkered down into total self-protective mode and prayed a lot at God. God was there, patiently waiting, but I really wasn't listening to his voice. But because God loves me more than I ever deserved, he saw me through this devastating time. And I began to understand his unfailing love and what it meant. First, in due time, God returned my son. And my son and I began to forge a more honest relationship. Then, God salvaged my marriage. Turning to God and Christian counseling gave my husband and I some tools to repair our marriage. After a little more time, my daughter moved back to Oregon with two precious boys. So I had grandsons. What a blessing. These events again showed me that my Heavenly Father's love is unfailing. I still needed to really deal with my pain, anger, pride, and bitterness over past hurts and hang-ups. I had a really good mask on, but I really needed to go to a recovery program. God led me to one in 2009. During that year, I began to realize that my life was spiraling out of control by circumstances I had no control of. No amount of anger, my attempts to control, or manipulation was going to fix my situation. Being a perfectionist, I hid my concerns from my church, my family, and my friends for a long time. My fear of this, how this would look to my church friends, and what might be said at work, kept me silent, sinking deeper in my prideful ways. My sister was the one I talked to, and she said, "You need to go to Celebrate Recovery." I had no clue what Celebrate Recovery was. But when I Googled it, there was a meeting 2 days from the Google, 7 minutes from my house. God's got a plan. Jeremiah 29 says that, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." At this point in my life, I desperately needed a hope and a future. I began attending Celebrate Recovery. I was shocked. I was in a place of complete honesty, and honesty was not one of my top attributes. In CR, there was no need for me to keep my prideful, protected, churchy mask on. All my ladies' group wanted was my honest truth. It was the first place in my life that I felt I could really open my soul to someone. No judgment, no gossip, just acceptance. I felt I had a lot to share. I was very angry at my husband's life choices. I was sad that my children and grandchildren were seeing our marriage foundation crumble. I was afraid of what the future held. My pride and perfectionism kept shutting down my total honesty for a long time. And this period of time was one of the deepest valleys of my life. Anxiety attacks haunted me at night, and many times I feared I was having a heart attack. Of course, God was really in control. He strengthened me and thankfully led me to a wonderful 12-step class. It took me a while to understand how working on my stuff could do anything to alleviate the chaos in my marriage. After all, none of this was my problem. No one has ever said that before. But I was really began soaking up God's word. I realized that I was unable to commit to living each day with my focus on Him alone. And I had so much emotional baggage dragging along, I could stop a train. I rationalized my anger, and the bitterness was inevitable because of the break in my marriage. I denied the fact that my attempts to control the choices and responses of my husband were codependent and displeasing to God. And then when I went there, I didn't even know what codependent was, but I certainly have a good filter for it now. I didn't believe that my attempts to be perfect in every aspect of my marriage and family relationships were futile and not a part of God's plan for me. My step study sponsor gently led me to God's unfailing love and grace. My step study leaders presented God's powerful word, and my step study sisters held me up all the way through 9 months. Little by little, changes began. God opened my eyes to a scripture, Philippians 4:6, that has become a core verse for me. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thankfulness, bring your request to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind. The phrase guard your heart and mind just flooded my spiritual understanding, because that's what I had, a heart that was feeling like it was having heart attacks. But in the middle of the night, God came and gave me a peace that transcended understanding. He protected me from waking at night and thinking I was having a heart attack, and I praise him for that. In June of 2010, I went to my second 12-step class. This one really led me deeper into desiring to draw closer to God. I was peeling that onion they talk about in illustrations around CR, layer by layer, and I could see it playing out in my life. God gently peeled those layers away, leading me deeper in discovering my core needs. He faithfully satisfied these needs as I let go and let him. Even though my feelings of bitterness, pride, and anger were still issues, they were a lot more controllable. They were less frequent. God patiently continued to work in me through my step studies and small groups. Since that time, I've been blessed by my Savior Jesus as I'm learning to step closer to him. Just like Proverbs 3:6 says, trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge him and he will make my paths straight. In my step classes, I have learned that I cannot control my world. It's God's world. He controls it. I can find peace in my soul by letting go and letting God work. I can't hide my feelings and deny my feelings in my part of the problem and still live honestly before God. But I can pray to God for help daily and along the way, forgiveness for my shortcomings. I cannot be perfect in my attitudes and emotions, but I can trust and obey as I remember life is about progress, not perfection. I'm pressing on toward the prize of an eternity with Jesus. Through my step studies, I learned in the 12th step about the importance of blessing others and paying it forward. I began giving back to my CR. I was blessed while helping other women and challenged not to become complacent in my own recovery. In 2014, 5 years after my first steps of recovery, I felt God calling me and my husband to start a CR in my home church. I struggled with that decision. I immediately started counting the cost, trying to figure out the resources, where the energy was going to come, how it was going to work out, how I was going to make it work all by myself. And then God said, this is not your CR, it's my CR. You're just going to unlock the door. So once I got that part down, the blessings have been bountiful. I have learned over and over again that God has everything in control. I thank God for the opportunity to serve him in this way. In October 2016, God gave me a specific message from Ezekiel 36:26. This message says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a responsive heart. God showed me that my stone was a negative spirit. Over the next 6 months, God helped me as I worked through his word, my sponsor, and a counselor to reveal this negativity and begin working through my recovery. I praise him for his faithfulness and the power that he gave me through his Holy Spirit to make this life change. It has helped me feel more joy and contentment in my walk. 2018, he's given me a new challenge. So you'll have a new testimony in a few years. I have so much to be thankful for. I thank Jesus Christ for sacrificing himself for my sins. I thank God for his mercy, his patience, and his Holy Spirit who comforts and guides me. I thank my husband for his support. I thank my stepsisters and my partners in sharing and all my CR friends. They're my cloud of witnesses, and they are my comfort. If you're a newcomer to Celebrate Recovery, you are in a great place. God, who has been so faithful and healing for me, has plenty of healing for anybody who comes and seeks it. He will provide you with a hope in his unfailing love. He will provide you with promises in his word that he absolutely keeps. And his Holy Spirit will guide you and comfort you. Take the first step. See what God wants to do for you. And here's what we say every week in our ladies' small group. Recovery works if you work it, and we work it because we're worth it. Keep coming back. Thank you for hearing my story.